Welcome to the Housetop Podcast, the teaching arm of Oikos Ministries. Jesus said, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." Join our host, Terrell Hebert, as he teaches God's Word.
Well, good evening. Welcome to our Facebook Live. We're Oikos Ministry, and I'm your host, Terrell Hebert. We're going through the book of Ephesians right now. We're in chapter 6. We're starting chapter 6 tonight. So if you've missed any of this and would like to catch up on it, we'd love for you to go to our website at www.housechurchesusa.com, and you can hear that this teaching and many, many others that we have in there. And I know something in there will bless you, so help yourself. Go to our website and check it out, and I know you'll be blessed. Just grateful for our time together this evening. And last week when we met in the book of Ephesians, we were talking about the great mystery, or really what he calls a great mystery. That word in the Greek, great, is mega mystery. So, I mean, it's a very big mystery. But he's talking, you know, he's using the marriage, covenant of marriage to illustrate really our covenant with Christ. That he's actually talking about Christ and the church. So he uses the idea of marriage to make that distinction of how Christ and his church should be in a covenant relationship. And we really zeroed in on that took that to heart last week. Now, this week it continues, especially in family teaching. Now, I want to reemphasize the fact that the church in Ephesus was a pagan bunch. They were not, they weren't Jews. They were pagan. And so they came to Christ. And now, retrofitting, if you would, after their conversion to Christ, a moral code, a moral law. I'll point out before we get started very good that the Apostle Paul, from Ephesians 5 all the way through right now where we're going, he reemphasizes all nine of the Ten Commandments, well, especially the last six commandments. He reemphasized, except for the Sabbath day, he reemphasized every one of them. So it's important to those who are coming to Christ to learn that there is a moral code in the Christian walk. And the apostles, the Apostle Paul fought vehemently not to put the Gentile believers back under the law, but he's here enforcing the commandments. And so there's a big difference between keeping commandments and keeping the law. There's a big difference, especially when it comes to the sacrificial system. Well, let me back up. Is how we get inner covenant and how we keep covenant now. And so I believe there's a huge distinction between that and the law, and we won't go into that right now. But in chapter 6, starting in verse 1, we're only going to deal with four verses tonight. I was going to try to take on more, but I decided, no, this is too important right now. Our children are literally, it seems like the entire world is trying to groom our children right now for wickedness. It's a terrible thing. It's amazing to me that it seems like the elites have this voracious appetite for children, why they think they have to impose their views on our children. And I tell you, it's time for Christians to really take to heart the stewardship of what God has given us to our children and not hand this task over to secular folks who do not believe Christian principle. And so I believe it's time we look at this. So we're going to take a deep dive into this tonight. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. The King James Version says the nurture, training is good though, training and admonition of the Lord. And so that's the four verses we will zero in on tonight. And we'll start with really, it's a commandment pointed right at children. So remember last week he gave a divine order how Husbands were to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Wives were to submit to their own husband. And so we start seeing a divine order in the home begin to take shape and to take place. And so now he's showing the lordship of Christ at the top. And then it says that we're submitted one to another. And I believe that mutual submission should govern our homes. I don't believe that the husband, just for gender's sake, is some authoritarian who should rule his house with an iron fist. That there's a mutually submitted life. We're submitted to Christ and we're submissive by nature. The Christian should be a submitted person. And prayerfully, we've repented of our rebellious ways and we love to submit to the Lord. And so, as we submit to the Lord, we submit to one another, it really changes the demeanor in our communication. And so we established all that last week. But here we get children. Now, we have husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, be submitted to your own husbands. And so where do the children fit in? Now, let me start right off the bat. You're in covenant with your spouse, but you are not in covenant with your children. You're not in a blood covenant with your children. You have a stewardship over them to raise them and to literally instill the Christian value and do everything you know how to bring your child to Christ. That is the Christian duty toward children. And so we're going to get deeper into that as we get to the parental role in this. But for now, he's saying children. He's talking right to the kids. Kids, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, he's saying in there, in King James, it says, fathers, but in the New King James here that we're using tonight, parents, and that's the proper terminology there, because it says you fathers, and it just kind of puts a gender sensitive, but it's a parental role here, and if you look in the Greek, it is that exactly. It's a parental role. And so with the parenting of children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, my wife and I were youth pastors for about 12 years when we became Christian. And we found some real difficulties. We led a lot of kids to Jesus. And when we'd lead these kids to Jesus, their parents would come to church. And so it put us in difficult positions often because kids would begin to submit to the Lord, to parents who were not submitted to Christ. And you had parents who were drunkards, parents who were dopers, parents who were just all kind of sinners. And it puts you, you say, well, what do you tell a child to honor? It says, obey your parent. What if your parent is telling you to do something wrong? I think a child can resist that. I do. It says, obey your parents in the Lord. And I'm glad he put that clause in there. And I believe it's kind of like in the military. You were to submit to orders unless if somebody gives you an order that's out of even against the law, illegal, you don't have to obey that order. And I think children need to know that as well, that if you've got a derelict parent or a parent who is really overtly not Christian, really a person who just practices sin, that you could be, I think the kid needs to handle that carefully if they're trying to follow Jesus. The child is talked to, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. and he says, in the Lord, for this is right. Now, if you look at that word for this is right, it should be righteous right there. It's the same exact word. And so this is righteous. And I believe a child should at all costs really be submitted to their parents. And we found something. I really believe what's happening right now. There's some really peculiar things. The family is under attack right now, in unprecedented attack. And it's amazing. And if we look at the warfare going on in families right now, and in particular children, it's amazing what the government has done to our school systems, to literally groom our children, turn them as, I mean, as the higher you get in education, the further they want to turn our kids away from Jesus. Now, I've observed with grief for many years, you send your children off, children who've been in church all their life, you send them off to education centers of higher learning, and they almost without fail don't come back to church. It is so grievous. It breaks my heart, makes me, and it's just demonic, demonized, humanistic, and in some cases just literally antichrist teachers that should just I don't think anybody should send a kid into that environment. It's horrible. And so we'll get to that as we go. So children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, one of the phenomenons that I was about to say was in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're seeing something established. If you look in I didn't intend to go there, but let's just take a little diversion just for a second. 2 Timothy chapter 3, first verse. But this know that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Now, this passage has intrigued me for many, many years. And in the last few years, we're seeing the rise of a term called narcissism. To me, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, literally describe the narcissist to a T. And it puts in there disobedience to parents. And when I look at the narcissism that is prevalent, maybe it's not true clinical psychological narcissism, but there is a demonic spiritual narcissism that comes around. And it's amazing. We're having narcissistic parents who are raising children who are equally as narcissistic. And when you look at people who literally are all about themselves and cannot have empathy or compassion for another, who are raising the next generation, you know, I'm at a terrible a ticking time bomb for what's going to come out of this. And I think we're starting to see it in some pretty terrible behavior the more our nation falls into apostasy. And I plead with you, hear me carefully. We need to come back to Jesus. I mean, we really need to. When I say that, I'm not telling you to go back to church. I'm telling you to come to Jesus. I'm telling you to come to Christ. You know, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, a lot of parents raise their children in church, but not in the Lord. And we take them to church, and I'm going to get back on this heavy in a little while. We take them to church, and there's two different things. You have a church life and you have a home life, and the two aren't in sync with one another. And this hypocrisy is it's too sad that this is the norm in our generation, that what we claim to be in the church building is not even present in home. And so I tell you, it's a terrible dilemma. And so it says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And so in the Ten Commandments, let me give you a little short lesson. In the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments deal with our relationship to the Godhead. You shall have no God before me. That's a direct commandment to God the Father. You should have no graven image. Jesus is the express image of God, and we should not try to make any kind of image, especially idolatry or a graven image. Jesus is the image of God in the flesh. The Word became flesh. And number three, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. That is a relationship to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the custodian of the name of Jesus. He literally guards the name of God. And where God places His name, the Holy Spirit and His glory is the guardian of that name and protector of that name. And the fourth one, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And so really the first four commandments is our worship, the Godhead and how we worship them, the Sabbath rest. And let me say this about the Sabbath. Jesus, in defiance to Jewish law, healed on the Sabbath continually. It seems like he picked the fight on purpose to heal on the Sabbath and provoke the Jews to a response, that he was doing good things on the Sabbath. And they said, oh, you're breaking God's law. And he pointed out that he said, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Now, I believe when he calls himself the Son of Man, he's referring to his fleshly life here. And it includes us, that the lordship of the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And so to deify a day like this is a better day than that day, man, all days are the same. Every day is exactly the same. And you know what? We worship Jesus every day. And the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 in particular command talk about entering into God's rest. And I believe that really the picture of our Sabbath is that the Christian has entered into his rest and ceased from his own labors, in particular, his labors to be righteous with God or in a right relationship with God. And so there's a rest to our souls that we find in Christ. And I believe the Christian has the wonderful promises to enter that rest and live in that rest. And it's not just one special day. It's every day. Somebody ought to thank the Lord. We can enter his rest and lay these burdens down anytime we want to. Hallelujah. Put your burdens on God. He can handle them. Now, it says children. So we're in the Ten Commandments, first four commandments, last six commandments are horizontal. They deal with our relationship to men. And so the first one, honor your father and mother. That's the fifth commandment. Honor your father and mother. That it may be long, you may live long in the world. You may be well with you and you live long in the earth. And so the commandment for children to honor their father and mother, I think it creates a dilemma when a child has a parent who's not worthy of honor. You know, honor means to place a value on. And when you're a worthless human being, and I said that right out loud, when you're literally, you bring no value to society whatsoever. You have literally wasted space. You don't do anything. If you do anything, we wished you wouldn't have. When all you can do is sin or lazily sit around and you just suck up air and eat food and use space and you don't contribute one positive thing to humankind or man, there's something wrong with that. It's horrible. And we have to look at that. It's hard to tell a child, honor your father and mother. Place value on them. Well, my goodness, if you bring no worth into the home, how can we say, just slap a knot on a kid's head and say, you better honor me. Honor who? How? Honor your father and mother that it may be well with you. There are some children in some pretty terrible predicaments. I mean, there are kids who live with parents who are just literally, demonic. And I feel sorry for kids in this generation right now. It is a tough time to be a child. And so here's the commandment going to you as children. And I encourage you, if you're a youngster listening, if you're under the tutelage of your parents right now, you do everything Christian in your might to become a submissive, obedient young person. But again, if your parent is someone who is literally, an overt, horrible, sinning person, then you need to take care that doesn't get in your spirit, but you don't want to be mean-spirited about it. So you young people, you need to be submissive if you could. Amen. And so it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that you may live well and live long on the earth. And so there's this notion that if you can do right with your parents in particular, because there's a generation now where even good parents, and I see this, there are good parents and you have kids who will literally attack their parent you have kids that it doesn't come out of the parent. It comes from the child who are really rebellious, incorrigible. I mean, sometimes it's just, you get a hellion for a kid. And it's just a terrible thing. So we have to realize that there are some kids that got nothing to do with their parent whatsoever that are just not good children. They are. Wow. Talking ourselves into a hole tonight. I mean, I'm pretty sure you're really loving every minute of it. Who do you think you are talking to families this way? I don't know. I'm just reading the Bible with you and we're just kind of chit-chatting about it. The fifth commandment says, honor your father and your mother that it may be well with you, that you may prosper, be blessed, that you can live a good life and a long life. You can learn to be healthy. This is a good way to live. And when we have this all working in sync, where honorable parents are raising their children, doing their best they can to provide a home with all the love and nurture and admonition that they can deal with or that can provide, that we should get a good result out of such an environment, if you would. This is what God says. And so we strive for that mark, to hit that mark and raise good children that literally have all the groundwork, the foundational groundwork to become Christian. Amen. Now, the last commandments, he goes into, you shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, and you shall not covet. So when you go through those last six, literally from Ephesians 5 all the way to where we are right now, all of these are reiterated except for the Sabbath. Except for the Sabbath, and that's implied we're to enter His rest. So I want you to see this. So Paul is teaching pagan folks who have come to Christ, he is introducing them to all the moral code of the Ten Commandments. Is he putting them on the law? No. He's not circumcising them. Neither is he introducing them to a sacrificial system. That would be under the law. What he's showing them and training them is the good character that goes with Christian behavior. And there, look, I had a guy last week on one of our reels says, you're teaching a lordship salvation. I said, well, thank you. I mean, he literally thought that was an insult. I'm like, dear God, I mean, that might be the best compliment I had in a while. Yeah, he's Lord and Savior. If he's not your Lord, he's not your Savior. Forget about it. Amen. All right, keep going. And so honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. I know one thing. If you dishonored your mother and father when I was growing up, it might shorten your life real quick. I mean, our parents would whoop on you. I'm telling you right now, they believed in that spare the rod thing. And verse three, and you fathers, now let's get to it. Again, the parental sense, not just daddies, but the parental sense. You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Now, we're going to spend some time right here because now it turns to the parent situation and the duty we have toward children. As a matter of fact, when parents come to us and they when they have newborns, they present their children and we don't do infant baptism and we don't believe in all that stuff. We present them before the Lord like they did Jesus. Like they did John the Baptist. We present them to the Lord. But I really emphasize that the parent has the duty here. Really, you present them to the Lord. You're presenting yourself to the Lord. The stewardship that it takes to train a child and help them navigate through these treacherous times, these perilous times that we live in right now. It takes a parent on their toes 24/7 to raise up a good kid right now. You better be on the ball. It is hard work. And don't just get this naive, romantic notion. Well, let's have children and it'd be wonderful. It's not wonderful. It's hard work. Yeah, we love them. They're great. That's all wonderful. But just get ready. There's nothing going to tax you like this. A demand on you. And boy, it's a terrible thing. If you're a narcissist, just go get yourself fixed to not have children. Because they demand your time. They demand you. And you can't give. And so you shouldn't have children. How about that? I felt the lead balloon go over just right then. Are you saying sterilize the narcissism? I'm asking them to be self-sterilized, please. You fathers, do not provoke your children. Now, there's a companion scripture in the book of Colossians that I want to read with this in Colossians chapter 3. He's saying almost the exact same thing in Colossians 3. And he says in verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. You know, and it's impossible to please God without faith. So I believe that children can have faith at an early age. And it's just wonderful when I see kids who have by nature a loving, faithful attitude. I really rejoice in that. And it says, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Now, I want you to notice that. Let's compare them real quick. Colossians just said, if you provoke them, they can become discouraged. Ephesians says, do not provoke your children to wrath. The other one, discouraged. Do you see that? He changed tunes a little bit. I want to talk to you parents about an environment that is provoking, provocative, that provokes a child either to anger or to discouragement. There's both. Now, I want to tell you something. You see, most parents think, okay, we give them life. We have a baby and we bring them home and we dress them little cutesy clothes and we give them food and we give them what they need there to grow up. We give them medicine and we give them our name and we give them a house and shelter. And so we feel like our duty's done. Then we send them to this daycare. Then we send them to the school and we send them to another school and then another school and we send them. Our kids are apostles from the day they're birthed. They're sent. Wow. Sent them to who? We have responsibilities and duties as parents to our children. And I've noticed that the state and the government wants more and more of the ownership or the stewardship of your children. They want to be the ones who dictate the mindset of your child. And they're trying to earlier and earlier to get their hooks into your children. This is a terrible thing. If there's anything you should be aware of, our government does not need to teach our children. Now, I'm not being political. I'm just telling you, this government has gotten as demonic. I believe it represents the beast of Revelation 13. My cards are on the table. I've been saying that for years now. And this American government has become one of the most evil places on the planet. I love America, but I hate every inch of its politics right now. It's just terrible. I grew up in a great place and look what it's become. Now, I'm telling you right now, they want your children. And there's this huge, voracious appetite among the elites. They want your little children for all kind of weird practices as well. Look, in the Old Covenant, even in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was preaching his martyrdom sermon to the Jews, he brought up the fact that in the Old Covenant, the people offered their children to Molech. And they offered them to Chemon or Remphan. It was the same name. Both of them were pagan gods. And the Moabites was the one that Molech was their god. Now, Molech was a brazen, I mean, it's an idol. It just made it up. It's a brass statue of a human-like feature with an ox head. And the arms were outstretched like this. And it was a cradling situation that you offered your children to Molech. Now, what they would do is heat that brazen statue till it was glowing red, and you put your child in the arms of that burning inferno until your child was slow roasted to death. And they beat drums loudly, boom, 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 so parents wouldn't hear the cries of their children and back out of the sacrifice. He said, how terrible. I don't know. It's just about what we're doing right now. We put our children in the arms of Molech. They weep and cry, but we're drowned out with busyness. We're drowned out with, well, I got to make a living. I got to make money. I got to do this. I got to do that. We're drowning out the cries of our children. Let me tell you something. I notice when children cry, first off, the younger they are, the children cries, they want their mama. Well, I need to make more money. No, they need you, not your money. Well, we won't have this and we won't have that. Do without. Raise your child. You say, that's easy for you to say you're old. Yeah, I am old. Let me tell you something. Raise your children. What's the point of getting all the stuff when you lose your child? What? Why lose your children to finances? I promise you, I've been in nations all over this world and they raise their children with less money than you have. I promise you. Raise your child. Don't give your kid to the daycare worker. Don't give your kid to the preschool, to the 3-year-old preschool and Mother's Day out. And everything. Don't give your kid away. I mean, there's times to take a break, sure, but don't do it. Don't make that the lifestyle. Your child is crying for you. And you owe him more than food and drink. Let me tell you something, parents. You need to give them your name. And if all that is some paper on a birth certificate, if they cannot draw their identity from you and have that reinforced that they know who they are, Are we going to let somebody in some school define who your child is? Now these perverts want to change your kid's gender and begin to dabble with that as young as they can get them? It's just wrong. Everything about it is wrong. Your kid, 5 years, gender blockers, and my gosh, hormone blockers, I mean, and gender confusion. Man, come on. Teach your kid who they are. There's only two genders, and everybody else just shut up. Just shut up. You play stupid all you want, but don't ask me to play the game. It's just stupid. I'm not, you got a psychological problem. Help yourself, but I'm not getting in there. You can go crazy all you want, but I'm not going with you. I will not repent to think that way. I'm just not. Two genders. They've served us well. Be what you are and enjoy every minute of it. Love who God made you to be. Boy, if this thing stays on Facebook, we'll be in revival. It'll be a miracle. Hallelujah. Where was I? Children, you owe your child an identity. You owe your child boundaries. Man, this is a big world. If you don't draw boundaries, and I'm talking about physical boundaries, I'm talking about not just geographical and where they live and this type of thing, but moral boundaries, and they need to be shown what's right and what's wrong. There should be a definitive way that's taught, and you should draw the boundary. It amazed me when my wife was dealing with younger children. She's a physical education teacher, and she, one day I walked into her room where she was teaching, and she had tape on the floor, a little square. I said, "What y'all gonna play a game? What is this in squares?" She said, "That's their space." And I said, "What?" "Yeah, that's your space, and they sit in it." I said, "You gotta be kidding. They sit in that tape." "Yep." "Pretty cool. I drew you a boundary and they stay in it." "Well, this is Miss Haber." I said, "This is where I sit." Man, that just makes me just want to shout. That simple. If we reinforce boundaries from a child, they know where they are, what they can and can't do. Oh, there's so much duty that we have, parents to children. But the negligence, all in the name of money. You see, all about finance. And let me tell you, we just take the first four commandments and we throw them away because money becomes our God. And we want the nice house. We want the nice cars. We want the boats and the camp and the play and the trips. And we want all that. And so we go on these trips with kids who don't even like us. Why? What have we done? Man, your kid ought to think you're their hero. They don't even know you, and you don't know them. I'm amazed at parents who cannot talk to their children. They don't know how to talk to them about anything of substance. They can bark at them, or they just ignore them, or they let the kid run the house and they just talk. The kid tells everybody how it's going to be. It is a terrible lack of order, and it is nothing but confusion. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Now, he says, don't provoke them to wrath in Ephesians. Don't provoke them lest they become discouraged. You see, I believe it has a lot to do with the temperament of the child itself. Now, I can tell you, I was raised in a home and environment that was conducive to angry because my daddy was quiet. My mom would really yell at us. And the fact that I had good parents. I'm not trying to dog them out. They would both, either one of them, passive and forceful, they would both whoop your butt. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, they would both pull the belt off and tear you up with it. And I'm talking about a serious enough way. Look, I'm 6'5", 260 pounds of mane. I'm going to tell you right now, my mama whooped me. I was 6'3", 225 pounds. She whooped a switch off a tree in front of all my friends and whipped me. Said, "He's too big to whip. Well, try this out, huh?" She got on me like who'd have thought with a switch. I'd rather take a 2x4. That woman was whooping me. And I was telling my friends, "Y'all go on. Wow. Didn't try that again. There are some children you could whip till Jesus comes back and they would not, they are so defiant, they will not comply. It ain't the answer to everything. Boy, back in the old day, they thought it was. It worked on me. I can tell you right now, I respected my parents to the day they passed, and I can tell you, I still do. And I can tell you this much also. They kept me out of prison. No doubt in my mind, my parents' disciplines kept me out of prison because I would stop when authority spoke to me. And I wasn't no nice guy to deal with. I'm just telling you, they instilled a respect for authority, and it stuck with me even when I was a wild child. So some children, depending on the personality of the kid, you could bark at them and holler and scream and cuss and fuss and stomp, and all they do is get numb to it. They just get numb, but they're very discouraged. Others are seething with anger. I remember when I was a teenager, my mother was tearing me. She had been chewing me out for 3 days. I'm telling you, I don't remember what it was about. I remember we were standing in our kitchen back in that day, and she was tearing me up. And I remember thinking to myself, I made an inner vow. I didn't know what it was at the time. I said, nobody will ever holler at me like that again. I wouldn't do nothing to her because she was my mother. But boy, there's a lot of people out there. And I mean, some of you know who you are. I apologize right now. That used to, I mean, they'd raise their voice and I didn't even explain why, but I would just punch them. And I had no explanation, just like, don't talk to me like that. We didn't have a discussion, I just hit them. And so the fact is that that was me. That I did not respond well to screaming. Don't scream at me. And then, but others get depressed. I was outwardly angry and I would vent. Others just hold it all in and get depressed. I would be murderous. The others would become suicidal. That's the two extremes. That you could be overtly aggressive, or you can get so discouraged you're depressed all the time. And we've seen both extremes in different homes. And it's amazing. There are parents who sit there and will not give their children their words. They will not speak to them. They will just let that kid do. They will not get to the heart of an issue. They don't even know how. I really don't think they know how. I try to talk folks through this kind of deal, and I'm dumbfounded that you live in the same home with somebody that you don't know them. You can't talk to them. I cannot grasp the concept of sitting in a house and we're not going to talk. Wow. No way. No way would I allow it. You see, if your home looks something like what I'm describing right here in the negative sense of this, there's room to repent. You can change this. You can sit down with everybody in the house and say, look, man, I have messed this up. And I'm sorry. I repent. I'm going to change it. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. But starting now, we're going to change things and show them how the changes are going to look, and then begin to enforce the changes, starting with yourself and then with everyone else involved. You can do that. You can change your home. You can change it. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't even, I'd shut this camera off. I'd never preach another sermon. If I didn't believe you could change, I wouldn't speak again. I believe with all my heart, the grace to repent is available to anyone who wants to. Your home might be a mess, but I believe God wants to fix it, and if you'll cooperate with it, He can. So, provoking, aroused to wrath, discouragement, disheartened, broken spirit. I was doing a job one time in the city of Baton Rouge, and there was a bunch of children waiting at a bus stop, and there was this woman who, I guess she was in charge of provoking the children. I would say watching the children, but she... I'm telling you, this lady screamed every curse word you could. This was how she held everybody in check there. I mean, it was every filthy, foul curse word you could dream of, just screaming at these children until the bus came. I was so glad when that bus came. It's like, dear God, maybe the kids will get a break. He says, raise them up in the nurture. You see, nurture means to train. It's, you see, here's what we do. Here's what the American home looks like now. Our training, you know, we teach them to talk. We teach them to walk. And boy, do we teach them to talk. We what's said at home, they learning it. Boy, they're doing good. And then when they start crying, we give them a video. Here, watch this video. And so all of a sudden, this kid is magically mesmerized by a video. It's amazing. I believe it's demonic. But everybody's happy that the kid ain't crying. So we watch these videos over and over and over and over. And so they get a little bit older and we give them little computers and then they get preteens. I mean, they're preteens with a cell phone connected to the internet. And they're learning God knows what about God knows what. It's the most horrific thing a parent can do is hand your kid an internet connection unsupervised. I'm begging you people, if you've done that, go in your child's room while they're asleep tonight, steal the phone from them, take it outside with a hammer and crush it, and don't tell them and don't buy them another one. I'm telling you, this is the most horrific thing you can do to a kid. Our children will learn about stuff they should not know about. The knowledge of good and evil is they should not know. And then they get teenager and boy, we just keep up in the ante. And folks, it's amazing that we give them to this. We take them. We're going to raise them in church. We want our children raised in church. So we bring them to church. They know nothing spiritual from you. You're not praying with them. You're not teaching them the Bible. You just take them to church and here they go to youth children's church. Now make sure they have fun. Did you have fun at church today? Yes, ma'am. We had fun. We played. All right, good. We drew Noah's Ark and we played basketball. We played games. That was fun. Then we take them to teen church and, let's give them to the youth pastor. What'd y'all do? We had fun. There were smoke machines and loud music. We had fun. It was great. We had fun. And so people in Bible-believing churches, their kids find out about the youth church that you can have fun at. And they say, we want to go to that church. We're going to move for the children. It's for the children. Our children need this. And it's about the Lord. There ain't no more about the Lord than the man in the moon. It's a mosh pit with religious terms on it. So we raise them in church, but that's not raising a child in the Lord. That's not bringing them up in Christ. That's just, it's not even nurturing them. It's literally you're shuffling them off and you're really shirking your own responsibility. You know, the old covenant, the parent was specifically instructed to teach their children the law. I'm not telling you to teach them the law, but I mean, I was in a pastor's meeting sometime back and I said, how many pastors can quote the Ten Commandments? You should have seen them fumbling. Pastors don't know the Ten Commandments. I mean, come on. You don't know the Ten Commandments, just a moral code? You don't know this? Why? Why wouldn't we know that? Why can't we teach and have a discussion with our children about the Bible? Or why can't we read the Bible as a family or read it? And why can't you be provoking enough or informant enough to share Jesus with your child? I don't get it. I don't understand it. Where is this? We have the greatest book on earth and Christian parents don't know what to do to raise their children. Really? Are we that biblically illiterate? Fathers, parents, you have an obligation to raise and train your children. So we slough them off in the spiritual business, and then we send them to preschool, then elementary school, then to junior high, middle school, whatever they call them now, and high school. Then we send them off to college, and so everything about your child's formation was done with professional teachers who were taught in secular academies themselves, who only know secular stuff. Very few is the exception that aren't humanist. And then we give them to teachers, to coaches and to clubs and organizations. And that's their entertainment. Oh, especially athletics, boy, we got to have them in athletics. And they can tell you all the drills in the athletic league, but they don't know Jesus. And what have we done at the end of the day? When you look back over all that busyness and activity, mandates, man, you're going to go to school. Boy, get in there. I tell kids all the time, can you read? Yeah. Can you do math? Yes. Can you write? Yeah. I said, well, you got it. You're good. Don't go back. So, man, what kind of idiot are you? I'm a smart guy. I'm just telling you, you don't need it. And they wasted my time for about 8 years. Teach me a skill. I remember those. They're worth something. Told me to read the alphabet. Then they started trying to make me do math with the alphabet. What are you trying to do to me? Huh? No, I'm not doing that. So I didn't. 65 and I've made it. I lived through it without adding letters. Glory be to God. I hear all of you out there say, man, we don't need to listen to this guy. Well, maybe you don't. I can tell you one thing. I know how to build houses and I know how to build buildings and I can build just about anything. You know how I know how to save souls and I know how to help rehab people out of all kinds of demonic issues. I know how to do a lot of stuff. You know what? Keep your academics. It don't run demons off. Raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. See, there's some place in there where correction is involved. We point out faults. We deal with issues. We don't beat them every time you, this spare the rod. I mean, you can pick this spare the rod and spoil it. You can take that and you think you're walking around just beating on a kid all the time. I mean, sometimes some kids need to get the tar whooped out. I'm just telling you right now. I don't have a problem with that. But there's others. I mean, it can get awfully abusive and I'm not for that at all. I don't mind whipping parents either. I think that would be a smart idea. Some of you parents right now just need to be bent over and just blistered real good right now for just the negligence. Well, I bet you our fellowship just fell off to like zero. Well, this reel will get about three people watching. Hi. So the nurture and admonition, parents raise, you see, let me point out a couple of things. I wrote a book called The Doctrines of Christ. And in that doctrines of God, I deal with the aspect of what fathers, and especially in this subject called laying on of hands. Now, I remember we grew up Roman Catholic and my mother would pray our Roman Catholic prayers every night. Now, I don't believe in Roman Catholicism anymore. I think I don't like the system at all. And I'm just not the place I want to deal with. But my mother was faithful to kneel down with us by the bed and we would pray our prayers. And that was, and so there was some, we would say the Lord's Prayer so we prayed to everything else walking too. So, but it was weird, we prayed to Jesus, to Mary, to Joseph, just somebody out there help us, it was kind of weird. But, basically, she was faithful to pray and take us to church. And it's amazing. You're going to go to school, but we're not going to make our children go to church because that might, they might feel bad about us. Well, why did you make, you see this, talk about hypocrisy. Quit making them go to school then. If you're going to hold that attitude about church, then do that about school or else you're just an absolute hypocrite. Well, you should give them a choice. Yeah, give your kid a choice in everything you want to do. Absolutely. Yeah, help yourself. Tell me how that works out for you. Send us some notes about how good that's working for you. We let our children do whatever they choose to. Go, yeah, that's great. That's great. Awesome. What you need is to have me as your baby. When I'd get done with you, you would want me put in prison where I should have been. I'd have wore you out. My brother and I, he's bigger than me. And, you know, it's like, we didn't ask permission. We just started fighting. And our house was small, maybe 1,200 square feet. We needed all of it every time we got in a fight. We were huge and we just fight. It's great. And then mama would beat us. Then when your daddy gets home, he would beat us. And we'd be mad at each other and we'd fight again because we got beat. It's great. But in our book, Laying On of Hands, see, Baron, you know, actually laying on of hands, literally to lay hands on was to arrest someone. Literally, they would lay hands on them and they arrest them. They put them under custody. And so literally, you grab them, keep them under authority is what it literally meant. And so we stay laying on of hands. In the book of Genesis, the 40th chapter, Jacob was, they call him Israel. He changed his name to Israel later. And Israel was about to pass away and he called his 12 sons in and he began to prophesy over it. And he said, let my name be named upon them. He adopted two of Joseph's sons and he said, let my name be named upon them. Man, some of you parents need to hear this. You need to take your kid and just get their undivided attention and start when they're young and just start saying, son, you are my child. You're my kid. I love you with all my heart and my name is in you. And wherever you go, you're carrying me with you and I'm with you and you're with me. Always. Man, put that in your kid and see what happens. It's like this divine. I've got goosebumps just thinking about doing that with a youngster. Parents say, I don't know if I could do that. Why can't you do that? It's your son or your daughter. Speak to them before some other dude puts their hands on them and ruins them. Let my name be named upon them. And he gave them his name. He gave them an inheritance. He showed them who they were. He gave them purpose and told them what they would do and what they would be. He spoke it into their lives. And he gave them prosperity. He gave them everything he had. Here, prosper. And he gave them all the tools for prosperity. It was an amazing time. And some of you parents need to get this in your spirit. And begin to change the tempo of what's spoken at home and speaking to your kids. Some of you need to retrofit this and say, man, I didn't know this when I was raising you and I'm sorry, but I know it now. Let me speak to you. We're losing the home. Nobody's getting married anymore. Very few are getting married anymore. And we have kids and look, our kids, the first thing we do, we're just, the procession I just laid out is pretty much the norm. I'm really grateful for, I remember that when I was in the early 80s, when I first got saved, I began to hear about homeschooling. I said, homeschooling? That's weird. I'm like, man, you better get you some homeschooling now. Stay home and raise your children. Say, well, I don't know how to teach. That's fine. You know how to read? You know how to write, you know how to add, subtract. That's enough. Teach them that. Then teach them a skill. Teach them how to do things. Love them. Let them know who they are. Teach them something with value and skills and work and hard work and labor. It's awesome. And bring tutors in that you know can help. And I have no problem with getting additional help. But don't turn them over to Molech. The government God. I'm telling you. I remember I grew up in a Roman Catholic school the first 3 years of school, and they taught us that God made male and female. He made Adam and Eve in the garden. Wow, awesome. And then in the fourth grade, I went to public school, and there was a little tadpole that grew up into a monkey and became a gorilla called Cro-Magnon Man. And I was like, I mean, I'm just dumb. What I know? Oh, I didn't know there couldn't be both. So we went from believing in a divine creation to I came from a tadpole. And I'm like, well, okay, all right. I didn't never buy that. I still don't. All right, folks. We're losing our children. What's the point? Look, think about it, parents. What's the point of having your job if you don't have time for your kids? Really, what's the point? Well, I don't know what we would do. I don't know how, where we downsize, sell stuff, get out of debt. You don't need all that stuff. What you need, what your kids need is you. They need your time. Redeem the time. Speak to your children. Pray with them. I'm amazed when we marry couples. One of the first vow that I lead couples into is that we will be worshipers of God. We'll be careful to display the image of God in our lives, and we will pray for. I will pray for you and with you daily. That's the first vow we vow together. And when marriages get in trouble, I say, how is your prayer life going? Are y'all praying together? No, we hadn't been doing that. I can't wrap my brain around this. Christian folk cannot pray together at home. I don't understand the disconnect. I cannot for the life of me understand why you would even hang around Christian circles if you can't pray with your family. You see, folks, parents, you're your children's pastors. You're their children's church. You're their youth leader. You're their Sunday school teacher. You're them. And if you slough that off to someone else, don't be surprised when they don't treat you like a parent with honor. It's an awkward place when I was a youth pastor where their kids honored me more than their parents. It's a weird feeling. Don't give your children away. We're praying for you, folks. I know it's a tough time in life right now. We're going to get to spiritual warfare in a couple of weeks. You might want to tune back in if you get over what I've just said tonight. So God bless you. We're going to cut it short right here. Have a great week. Love y'all.
We are so thankful that you joined us for this teaching today. It's our sincere prayer that many of you would be born again through hearing God's word. If you were blessed by this podcast, we would love to hear from you. For more information on Oikos Ministries, visit us on our website, www.housechurchesusa.com.